Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Like I said, I didn't want to ruin anything when I was preaching last week, but we just got back from camp. Woo! Yeah, kids are excited. So we are going to show a video, and then we are going to come up here and talk for a moment to all you folks. So,
okay, I guess I'll talk first. One of the things Micah Mack was talking about that stood out to me was he was talking about holding in the trash that you have in your life and throwing it out, which could be anything that God doesn't like of you, or anything that you don't like. And he was talking about throwing it out and not picking it back up. And he was talking about how if you hold on, so let's say you make, for instance, Lonnie makes me upset.
And sounds realistic.
Victor. And I hold on to that, but she takes it as she was just trying to do something nice, but I take it in another way. And he was talking about how holding on to that, and one of his friends, I don't remember her name, but she was holding on to a rope that was attached to Monica, that was attached to his waist, and holding on to that trash is what he was talking about, and throwing it out and letting it go. And I just want to say thank you to the church for all your donations. This wouldn't be possible without you guys, so thank you.
Good job, Abby. Thank you. Okay, so I have a couple things that I liked from camp. I have my notes here. I wrote lots of notes. I'm not going to say them all because I had a lot of notes, but one of the things that I thought was pretty cool at camp that they announced at the last part of camp was that when we were at youth group, so 300 people at camp got physically, mentally, and spiritually saved. 300 people at youth camp got, saved. And that's incredible to me because when we went to youth convention, of course, there was less because there wasn't as many people. But it was, it was so much more, I don't know, moving this time. And one of the sermons, there was two sermons that really stood out to me, which the two sermons, titles were Cry Out was the first day, and the second day was Pain, From Pain to Purpose. And the Cried Out sermon was the first sermon of, our whole youth camp to, start it off. And that, I was telling my grandpa, my mom, everyone, that sermon was so powerful. And because that sermon was the one sermon that I have cried the most in my life about before, because I've never cried so much over a sermon, is what I was saying. And sometimes it'd be anger or sadness or stuff like that. And that is that was just amazing for me. And we were telling the pastor about it, Pastor Micah Mack, we were telling him about it, and he seemed so surprised. He was like, really? And we're like, yes. And he goes, really? And we're like, uh-huh. And he just seemed so surprised, and and he told us nobody has told him that before, which we thought was pretty awesome because he's really good at his sermons and everything. But one of the things that he'd do in his sermons was the big so what. And it was the whole meaning, I guess, of his sermon. And one of the ones was for Cry Out is, many want God's healing, but few want Jesus as their Lord. Because he talked about the 10 men that had leprosy, and he healed them, right? And they walked away, and one of those men said, hey, let's go back and thank him. And they're like, no, I haven't seen my family and stuff like that. And he's like, well, I'm going to go say thank you. And he goes and says thank you. And he's the one out of 10 people to go and say that. So, and then the other one was from the sermon Pain to Purpose. And it was forgiveness is the bridge from pain to purpose. So that was one of the ones that I really liked. And then the best part about camp for me was when we got to write down, like, on a piece of paper, either someone that hurt us in our life or something that hurt us in life. And, we all wrote something down. We went up to Abram and Kea, and they would pray over us. And then me and Abby were pretty much always in the front, no matter what. Like, we were always in right direct front. And when we went up there, we tore up the papers, and he counted to three. We threw them up in the air, and they put on a song, which I thought was pretty cool at the moment, because it was was about all the, like, sin that we could have done or that sin that was hurting us. And it was like, I lost another one, I am free, I am free. And they just kept repeating it over and over. While we were over here dancing up and down on the papers, and everyone just screaming, yelling, like, that it was, like, the best thing. And that was the one thing that I would say out of the whole camp was the best thing that you could tell moved everyone. So, like Abby said, thank you guys for everyone for their donations for us to be able to go, and, like, all your guys' support. And thank you guys. All
right. Here you go, Zach.
So while we were ripping up the papers, and Abe prayed over me, like, I had to forgive myself for, like, things I've done, because, like, I'm hard on myself a lot. And he said that God made you perfect, and don't hold on to the things that have hurt you or that you've hurt with. And so what I got from that was God made you in your own perfect way. So whenever people or Satan try to tell you otherwise, just remember that God doesn't make mistakes, and he didn't make a mistake on you.
I really enjoyed the worshiping the most, just watching me, all of us, and all the other kids just jumping around and really getting into the songs. Yeah, that was my favorite part, probably the whole thing. Actually, no, I kind of liked all the little competitions we did. They were fun, especially when we did the ski race. Benny was probably the most into that one. That's what I thought was cool. But I also liked what Micah Mack said. He always says everything that he says is really good. And, yep, that's what I like.
The worship was really, really good. I'll admit that. The rec games were also really, really fun. So was the free time, right, Abe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great time. Playing basketball. But, inside joke. But, it's good to see how many kids were on fire for God. Like, there were 300 kids jumping up and down, singing the name of Jesus. It was truly amazing. That was my favorite part of the whole thing. Your turn, Benny.
I think the best part about camp was, honestly, I loved camp. Every single part of it was my favorite thing. Especially in the room when we go back to sleep, we never slept. Yeah. Nah, we never, We didn't sleep. We just messed around. Like, we were feeling dangerous. I'll just say that. But other than that, during the worship or one of the ceremonies, Pastor Michael Mack mentioned speaking tongues. And he actually taught us to speak tongues. And ever since I got back from camp, right now as a senior, going into my senior year. And it's going to be an important year for me because I'm going to have to be looking for colleges and stuff like that. But other than that, Pastor Michael Mack made me open my eyes a little bit more and showed me that leave everything in God's hands. He's got everything. So actually now and then when I start to work out, all of a sudden like I start speaking tongues. He even said that, like, you may not even understand it at first, but it'll come. So I think that was the best part during camp, like, was to learn tongues, like, the language of God. So I'm grateful for that. I'm starting listening to the tunes that were played in the worship. And so, yeah, I'm internally grateful for some of you guys for giving the donations to that, because it really changed my life for the best. And now I'm trying to, like, expand the youth group because I'm bringing some friends over to youth group. So I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say, like, Abe and I, all of these guys, this was their first time going. So it was fun to see them experience everything for the first time. Like, Abe and I know what to expect, but every year it's different. You know, we have a different group of kids and camp is a little bit different. But this year was just so amazing because every single one of these kids was in it. They participated in everything. And, you know, sometimes you get those kids that don't want to do anything, and that's okay, but they're getting something out of camp regardless. But worship, they were at the front. They were there during service. They were awake. They were paying attention. They were taking notes. All the rec games, like, we killed it in rec games. So thank you guys for making it enjoyable for us too. Like, it was the best trip ever. So, but one thing I will say about our group is I think our theme for camp was mini but mighty, because, and they just proved it right here. Because look, amen. The littles, they talked first, right? The littles went first. We call them the littles at camp. We got the bigs and the littles. but at camp, they split us up like into teams. So we were crimson. So you heard on the video, they're shouting crimson. And our group was like one third of the size of the other groups. So yeah, we were kind of like David and Goliath in all the games. The first day we actually did pretty good. We were in second place after the first day. The second day we lost every single game, except for the last one because, yeah, me and the other leader got to play. So you saw on the video, less than 10 seconds, we won. Okay. But the other thing, I know they're already feedback. Okay. I will mention too, they had tournaments. So our little group here, the guys won the dodgeball tournament. For the whole camp. Yeah. Clap. And for the girls, I have to say this. When we first showed up there, we went to our dorms and we were putting the stuff away. There was a girl that made a comment about how small these two were. But guess what? These two little ones won the volleyball tournament. Yeah. And on the last day, we do like a big relay race with our teams. It's called the Route 66. There's 16 stations that we have to do in Victor. You did like five of them, right? He did a lot of them. But like these kids showed up there. We had other kids on our team like that did nothing, like absolutely nothing. And so, yeah, our team won that relay race. Yeah, Crimson. And not only did we win, but we finished so far ahead of the other teams that we were actually accused of cheating. Yeah. Yes. One of the other teams said that we skipped a station, which, and they film everything and they take pictures. So they actually went and looked at all the footage and said, nope, they did it. So mini but mighty, huh, guys? And so, yeah, just like Benny said, Benny's not the only one that received tongues. I was waiting to see if anyone else said, but that's okay. That's theirs to share. But we did have some others speak in tongues. We had a lot of chains broken and a lot of freedom. And you can see, like, they're just on fire. They're ready to go. So,
okay. So Mikhail was saying that some of the other ones spoke in tongues. Abby spoke in tongues. I spoke in tongues. And Micah said when he was saying about it, he was saying when he first learned to speak in tongues, he was like at his church and his pastor was telling him about it. And he was like, oh, cool. This is awesome. Like, oh, like, I didn't know I could like speak directly to God like that. And he was like, he was saying that in every situation he was in, no matter what, even he would like start praying in tongues. And one of them was like, he was with his friend and then they were in a situation. So then they called the police, right? And they're trying to ask them where they were. And his friend was like, we're in a park. And they're like, what park, sir? What's around you? Trees. And he's like, sir, we need more of an explanation. And then Micah said that in the car, he just started speaking out in tongues. And then the lady on the phone goes, sir, what's that noise? And then like he was saying he was wondering if the police have like, he thought that they had like these like different types of translators and thought that maybe it was, he was like, they could like translate it and be like, God save us, please help my friend and stuff like that. So, but he was saying that his pastor told him every time that you speak in tongues, your faith grows more and more and more every time. So that his pastor said, whenever you can, he said that he does it every day. He'll just walk around his basement, walking back and forth, speaking in tongues. And his kids, he said he can hear his kids from upstairs come running down the stairs, sit down there and watch him just go back and forth speaking in tongues. And he said that there'll be times where he can hear them trying to speak in tongues. So that, and that they're just like, what, five, I wanted to say? That they're just like three and five, I want to say. But, that they'll just sit there and then watch, but that, like, he's like, and I know someday that, like, if you saw in the video, me and Abby got called up to the stage saying that me and Abby are going to work together, like, are gonna always be together, help spread the word. And at youth convention, we got called, me and Abby both got called to become pastors of like a church. And if you weren't here last time when we came back from youth convention, Micaiah and a couple other people had a dream that the movie theater over here was a church, and said that maybe me and Abby are supposed to run that church. So that we thought that that was pretty cool, and that I want to build more of like a connection with God, and like I want my faith to grow more. I know that for sure. And that I'm definitely, now that I have the like opportunity of being able to speak in tongues, I'm going to take as many, like, my chance to, like, get as much faith as I can now. And I know that I can still my whole life. So, yeah. And we just wanted to thank Micaiah and Abe for making this happen and fun and being amazing.
So I just want to say thank you to everybody who's, you know, given support to us in the past. Because as you can see in the video, there was a lot of that rec game stuff. But, you know, when it comes to the whole, like, spiritual stuff where we're supposed to be there and present, I'm not going to photograph that and record that. That's the part you don't see in the video. And I think you can hear from them that it really impacted them on a whole different level. And that we are definitely going to be, like, doing some more fundraising because we got more stuff to do. We've got possibly another event that we might go to called One Day, and then another one, youth convention, and then camp again. So, you know, we're not going to always just ask for money either. What we're going to do is we're going to, like, you know, offer you something in trade, like maybe some Krispy Kreme or something. Yeah, so... So we're going to be doing some more fundraising around here. Because one thing, it's our goal, McKay and I, that no kid has to pay to go to any of these things. Because I know there's some people that won't even ask for help. And then there's people that just can't afford it. So it's been our goal for since we started, which is years now, that no kid would have to pay. And we've always met that. So we're just looking to continue that, even with more and more kids. So...
On that note, just real quickly, when we went to youth convention, we did ask for funds because we needed them. You guys blessed us so much. We didn't even have to ask this time. And so I think we're good now. I think we're okay. I don't know. I'll have to talk to Rachel. But if you guys would like to donate to the youth, just mark on your envelopes when you give, just put for youth group or, you know, whatever. So that'll... Those funds will go with us. Will go to us. But yeah, we've got plans. They already told us about some other events coming up. One's in August, and then youth convention will be in October. So, and they're already ready for camp next year. So, like, these ones are already going. So we got to start getting funds for that. So, thank you guys so much.
One last thing, parents of these children. They're amazing. They're awesome. So thank you for them. And I guess you're all dismissed. And Pastor John?
Good morning, people. Micaiah mentioned that there was little ones and big ones. I don't know about you, but all I heard was giant voices. Giant voices. And that's really, when you really listen to these kids, they're not babies. You know, God has done a work in their hearts, and every time that they go to these events, they come back so full of what they've grown in. And I hope you old guys, not me, oh, you old guys, I hope you tap into them, talk to them, spend time with them. You know, that these little guys are showing us stuff that I wished I would have known when I was that age. And so, just once again, Abe, Micaiah, thank you. Just give him a hand. And as they said, the parents of these kids, you guys, you know, thank you for encouraging them. Thank you that that you want them to grow in the ways of God, not in the world. So, anyway, I think we have a good future ahead of us. I made an announcement last week, and it had to do with the kids. Shirley Cargill had asked me to announce this, that she's a coordinator for the Children's Church. So after listening to these guys right now, I thought I should read it again because most of them weren't here. But the thing is that they would like from kindergarten to fifth grade to be in the church, in the Sunday school, or for the kids. But anybody from sixth grade on up to not be there. And when I heard, and what I'm saying is that if you're in the sixth grade or above, you should be sitting right here. Amen. You're ready. You're ready for the good word. It's not for you guys to be hanging out in the back or to be going outside. So if you are sixth grade or above, please stay in here and be a part of what this church is doing. Okay? So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for what we've seen this morning. Thank you that our youth, Lord, is growing, that you have your hand upon each one of our children, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we as parents or grandparents can encourage, can just let them know how wonderful and great they are, Lord, rather than to always be on them. Thank you for the beauty that you've blessed us with, Lord. You gave us these kids, Lord. You gave us these young people, Lord. Thank you. May we be an asset to them, Lord, as they are to us. And thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name.
So anyways, I just want to encourage you all. I was walking. I had to go to the house I had listed, and I was walking there from my house. And I saw this bird that was hurt on the ground. So I went by it, and I just, there's a reason for this story. So anyways, I prayed for it and just walked on by, you know, just let it go. I prayed for its safety and all that. So then I came back to the house, and I went by it, and it had a broken wing. And so I started petting it, speaking life into it. And before all this, I was just asking God, you know, how long do we have to wait, you know, for Shirley's healing? So, you know, we've been standing on the word, and we keep standing on the word, and we're going to keep standing on the word. So anyways, this is the way God just encouraged me. So as I was petting the bird, speaking life into it, it flew off with a broken wing, and no more broken wing. So God was, you know, just before that, I was talking to Pastor John, like, I don't know if I can pray for people because, you know, they think their prayers aren't working because Shirley's still sick. And so anyways, that was God encouraging me. So if you're waiting on God, just keep waiting and just be faithful and keep speaking his word, and it will come about. And I know Shirley's going to be well. You know, she's almost died twice. And it's not her time yet. And she has a great healing ministry. I know that. But anyways, just keep thanking God for her healing. And anyways, I wanted to share that with you just to encourage anyone who is waiting on the Lord. And you just, like David kept saying, that you don't hear my prayers, Lord. I don't think you're hearing my prayers. Well, I know God hears our prayers, and his word doesn't come back void. So just keep waiting on the Lord.
I have a testimony to share. I see the kiss, and when my son was 16 years old, he went to a meeting like the kiss went, yeah. And that was kind of boring. And there was planning a bunch of kids going to go and buy some beer and alcohol after the meeting. So they went out, and when they went to the room, get the money and collect the money. God has something very, very special for them. There was the Holy Spirit that baptized all the kids. They got drunk, but on the Holy Spirit. Amen. They tried to get up. They tried to get up, and they could not get up because they were so drunk. Every time they tried to get up, they don't need the alcohol because every time they try to stand up, they fall down again, and they laughing, crying because the Holy Spirit touched them so much. They was in Juarez. And there was a bunch of kids from church, from Nogales, Sonora. It was the group, they took them, you know. I don't even remember who was it because I wasn't really part of them, but I remember my son came and told me, and he was so, so happy. And he was only 16 years old, so now that for a long time, he was an alcoholic. And he's been 1.5 years that he's been not drinking right now. And I thank God because he's making a lot of miracles in my family. My daughter has been calling me and telling me how good she's doing. She just find a job. So my family is coming back. Amen. To the Lord. And I thank God for all what he's doing in my life. Last night I was praising the Lord and I was talking to him and I see how much he's doing in my life. All the sickness that I've been going through right now, he's showing me how much he loved me. And how much he's doing for me. This is my testimony. He's doing all what I'm going through. I go into a fire.
Amen.
And he's getting me through this fire. But I enjoy it. And it's hard, but I'm going through. And I'm telling him, thank you, Lord, because with my husband, by hand by hand. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank everybody for your prayers.
Amen. Amen. I was told before I got saved the same thing. I had a guy that followed me everywhere I went. He kept saying to me, you are never going to be able to quit drugs until you accept Jesus. And I was like, yeah. Heard all that. I knew everything I needed to know. I could quit drugs. Mm-mm. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. The only name above all names. Right? Amen?
You know how hard it is for me to sit up here and not be able to move. Because worship can be such a freeing experience for people. People can walk into a church and not know anything of God, but feel the Spirit move when you're worshiping. There is joy in every single thing that you go through. We have gotten so used to, so often, thinking, man, I'm just down. And I can't be joyful, God, because I'm down. But faith is an action. It really is. It's in those moments when you feel like you're completely down that choosing to do the opposite of what you feel because it's what God told you is so important. We sang a new song today, Shall Not Want. And that song has been such a blessing for me. Because regardless of what you see around you, you got to remember that the Bible does tell you that you shall never want. You will have everything that you need. That we serve a God who already knew what you were going to go through before you got there. And because of it, he's already provided every single thing you need. Woo! Come on, church. These are things to be excited about. They're things to raise your voice for. They're things to want to jump around for. Because you serve a God who has already given you victory in every single place of your life. It doesn't matter if you got the bill collectors coming after you. It doesn't matter if they're telling you that you're never going to be healed. It doesn't matter who is saying what in your life, because the only person that matters is the one who created you, the one who created everything. And he's given you every single thing that you need. He's already placed the promises there for you. He's already giving you every single tool that you need in your life. But we gotta listen. And we gotta go after him. And we have got to start walking in faith. Regardless of what you see, regardless of the storm, regardless of what's happening, believing that what he's promised will come to pass in your life. It's just like Steve said, don't be discouraged, because every single time that you pray, he's hearing you. He is with you all of the time. You are a temple for the Lord. There's never a time that he leaves you. It doesn't matter how hard or how big the obstacle, he will never leave you. So don't be discouraged. And when you feel discouraged, I want to encourage you. Man, turn on some worship and choose. I'm choosing joy. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it doesn't matter what I see or what's happening. I'm standing on the promises. It's an action. It's a choice.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. And what I want to share with you and what I want to do is bless you. I want to bless you with a peace that passes all your understanding. You don't understand why you should be peaceful. You don't understand what he has done for you. But he wants to bless you. He told me that he wanted me to come up here. And I'm not the one that's doing it. It's him within me that is saying, I want to bless you with peace that passes all your understanding, and that you will know that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Just remember, do not let anyone steal your joy. Don't let anyone. If you look to the left, to the right, just look straight up in him. Don't let it happen, because when you have the joy of the Lord, you have everything. And when you have peace, you don't understand why you have it, but you know it comes from him. So be blessed with the peace of the Lord, of his presence.
Ooh, come on. To be in the house, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. You can be seated if you'd like, if you can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, it's good to be back. I want to thank all of you for all your gifts and that you poured out on us for our 50th anniversary. Just want to thank you again. You didn't have to do that, but thank you so much for that. We appreciate it. I think Rosie's got some cards she's trying to deliver. I don't know if she's... Anybody any cards from Rosie today yet? No? Yeah. All right. She's got them in the back, but we had a good time. How many know sometimes it's good just to get away? How many say amen to that? Yeah, is that right, Randy? Yeah, 3 months in Hawaii. Come on, bro. That's what I'm talking about. 3 months.
come on.
Hallelujah. But sometimes it's just really good to get away, get a refreshing, get the Lord to, you know, and I enjoy my family. I really do. I enjoy the discussions we have, that what we have, what we talk about the Lord. And we are a ministry family. How many know that? I mean, you guys might not know this, but you know, I'm a pastor. Rosie's a pastor's wife. Don't you feel sorry for that? No, I'm just kidding. Rebecca is, she's a minister. She's got a very close connection with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks through her quite a bit. And my son also is, he's got a connection with the Holy Spirit. He really loves to dig in the Word of God. And we have some crazy discussions, my son and I, whether you believe this or not, I mean, I pick up a lot of stuff from the discussions that we have, that insights that God is showing him. And so there's been some times where God has, son, I don't know, man, I don't know about that. And then he's telling me, Dad, I don't know about what you're saying either. I don't know. That's, come on, man. How many know that's okay? Because when he says to me, I go ahead and dig. I'll look for it. Oh my God. And God will just poof. I see what he's saying, man. You know, and how many like that? I love it when God reveals things to us. Folks, you know, the times are gone now where when you hear, you need to be listening to what God is saying to you personally. You don't need to be going to your favorite pastor, whoever he is, and saying, well, does this guy believe the same way as this? Well, no, he's saying something different. So I'm going to go stick with. Folks, we can't do that anymore. How many say amen to that? You need to know what God is saying to you. You can't go by what I tell you. You got to go by what the Holy Spirit gives you, and what I say to you will quicken you in certain ways. How many say, because the Holy Spirit is working on his people. He's building a nation. Is that right? He's building a kingdom of kings. Can you say amen to that? Today's the title of the sermon today is King of Kings. How many know you're a king? How many know that? That when Jesus died for you and you accepted him in your heart, you became a king. Do you know that? He's the king. Amen. And you're a king. You're not the king over him. He's the king, capital K. You're the king, small k. Can I say amen? Can you say amen? Just a small k. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm just a small k. Is that okay with you? Yeah? You're just a small k. But it's him that dwells in you. It's the Spirit of God that dwells in you that causes you to be a king. Hallelujah. Whew. You're able to make declarations over your life. Do you know that? Through the Word of God. Do you know you're able to make declarations over people, over things? Hallelujah. You can declare things over your car. Is that okay? Isn't that right? Chris, you can tell your truck, man, never get a flat again, okay? Stop it, right? It's okay. You can declare things. See, a lot of folks think we're crazy for this kind of stuff. But God says, hey, man, he satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed as an eagle. God will give me things to say. He will speak to you. How many know God's trying to speak to you even right now? He's speaking to you. He said, I want to give you good things so that you might speak good things. Because you're a king. Yeah. Nothing worse than an evil king. How many say amen to that? Oh boy. Oh boy. We're gonna look at some scriptures about a couple of kings. I love looking at the walk of Saul and David. How many like that? You see a lot of things that Saul does wrong. You see a lot of things that David does wrong, but you see a lot of things that David does really well. See, David was a worshiper. Can you say amen? One of the biggest things for a king, that you better be a worshiper. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus himself said, I say nothing to myself. Only what my Father tells me to say, that's what I say. I won't do anything else. I only do what my Father tells me to do. He's given us some hints and some clues about how a king on this earth is to operate. Can you say amen to that? He has created you to be kings. Woo. Ladies. Not queens. You say, well, I'm a queen. No, no, you're not. He is a king. The spirit of him that dwells in you is a king, causing you to be a king. Is that okay?
God goes after genders, man. Can I say amen? Ooh, man, we're in a time in our life. We're time in this world where genders is a mix-up of, I don't know, I think I'm a lizard. Yeah, no, I don't know. What are you? I don't know, I'm a chicken. Yeah, chicken. I don't know. The genders are getting so jacked up nowadays. Basically, what they're saying to God is, you don't know what you're doing, God. You got no idea. You're confused, God. You don't know who. I mean, they're saying that to God. I'm safe. You got something coming. You got a real awakening coming. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. He's going to fix your gender problem. Can I say that to you? Oh, man. What a world we're in. Amen? Oh, come on, man. Glory to God. Are you done with that, Lord? Sometimes I got to check. Hallelujah. Well, I got a scripture for you. This is Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I love this part because basically John, the Apostle John, the Holy Spirit is taking him into heaven. He's showing him things. He's writing the book of Revelation. Can you say amen? I love the name of the book. It's a book of revelations. God is a God of revelations. Do you know that? He wants your whole life, your whole stance as a Christian depends on the revelations that God will bring to you. Amen? Oh, he wants to reveal things. Jesus said it this way. He told the apostles asked him, hey, how come you speak in parables, man? It's kind of hard to understand them, Lord. He says, because unto you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them it's not. Those that are outside. Do you know the kingdom of God is a mystery? Do you know that? It's a mystery. People don't understand it. But God is getting ready. God is getting ready to break this thing open. He's going to show the world. Hey, this is a king. Do you know that from the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created the kingdom of God? Do you know that? Everything is creation. The Pharisees, I was looking at this the other day, and I don't know if I'm going to get to my message because God is just dumping some stuff that I've been looking at. Is that okay with you? Yeah. Is that all right? I was looking at something the other day. And God spoke to me. He says, you know, the kingdom of God is in everybody. And I thought, well, no, God, I don't know if that's right. Yeah. He says, no, it is. Everything that's created was created for him, by him. Is that right? Do you know that? Scripture says everything is created was created by him and for him. And in him is all things. You see, even those sinners out there don't realize that they are created. The kingdom of God is in them because they are created for that. Isn't that crazy? I thought, I said, Lord, well, I don't know if I get that or not. He says, well, it takes the door to open the things of the kingdom. Do you understand that? Who is the door? Jesus. He's the only way. It takes him to open the door so they can see the kingdom. This is what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit or you won't even see the kingdom of God. You won't realize that the kingdom of God is already in you. When Jesus was speaking, when he said the kingdom of God is in you, do you know who he was talking to? He wasn't talking to his disciples. Look at it. He was talking to the Pharisees. You should know this, dude. Amen? The kingdom of God is already in you. But you got to let the door open. Amen? The door opener, the porter, if you will. Let him open the door. Come on. Hallelujah. He'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. If you open the door, open it wide. Amen?
Yes.
Woo, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I love what's going on with the kids. Amen?
Yeah.
Folks, I'll tell you how to build a youth group. Events just like that. Just like that. I love camp. I loved it. Matter of fact, I looked at the pictures and everything. And I said, I wanted to go. Isn't that right, Tommy? Man, I was a shark during the whenever they have a worship service and then they'd ask the kids to come forward, I was in the back, dun, 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 dun. And I'd go to all those kids that thought they didn't, you know, they didn't need Jesus. Gonna have to go? Yeah, God bless you. That's fine. Yeah. Boom, boom. I was in there chasing them. And I'll tell you, the ones that were stayed in their seats, some of them may become good friends with me by the end of the week. Because I'd sit back and I said, man, you know what? God does love you, man. He really wants you to understand that he is for you. He's not against you. I love camp, man. I love it. That's why we will expense everything. Rosie and I, if we have to, we'll expense everything for the kids to go to camp. Because I know the value of it. I know what it does to kids. And I write, Cammy, are you back there? Where are you? She's in the nursery, yeah. The value of what God will do to young people, amen? Energy unleashed. Can you say amen? I mean, they play all day, and then when they go into services, man, they're ready. They're going like crazy. I love it. Anyway, I better quit talking about it. I better get to my message because it's going to be here. I'll be here all day. Hallelujah. I wanted to read this. Revelation chapter 5. Jesus has already died, and John is being shown this by the Spirit of God. And there's a voice that goes out. Who is worthy to open the seals and open this book? Who's worthy to open the book and release the seals? Can I tell you, without Jesus, this book could, without Jesus, you're not going to understand much of this. I'm losing stuff. You're not going to stand much of it because the Holy Spirit has to show it to you. But he said, who's worthy to open the book and release the seals there? And John said, nobody was saying it. There was a silence. And he said he began to weep. And then an angel said, hey, don't weep. Don't cry. Behold, the Lamb of God. And he looked and he saw, what he saw was a lamb as it had been slain. And this is where I'll take you. And all the elders fell down. And they sang a new song, says right here in verse 9. They sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every king, kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And has, this is verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall what?
Reign on the earth.
Do you know that you are designed to reign? You, look at your neighbor, say, you, yeah, are designed to reign. Look at him, tell him that. You're a king, tell him that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And guess what? It's getting close to that time. Can you say amen? Yeah, hallelujah. So I want to take you to Samuel chapter 19. We're going to read a little bit about a king and another king, and an upcoming king, if you will. 1 Samuel 19. Word of God says here, verse 1 says, and Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. How you like that? I said, well, why? And we all know the story. We know what's going on. We've heard it before. We've heard that Saul was chosen out of the stuff. How many say amen to that? Remember, he was hiding in the stuff. Somehow, Saul just seemed to be not really wanting to take the position God had placed him in. Is that okay? But once he took it, oh, man. There is something to be said about a heart that is humble, a humble heart, a heart that will, you know, hey, I'm not going to try to hurt you. I'm going to try to strengthen you. I want to build you. I want to help you. But in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, Saul is probably remembering when he told his servants, I want you to kill him. He's probably remembering what Samuel told him. When he had orders to kill all the Amalekites, leave nothing alive. But he kept animals, he kept cows, he kept sheep so they could sacrifice them. And then he kept the king alive rather than killing him, like he was told. So here's what Samuel said. He says, Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Here's the thing, obeying his voice. How many say, yeah, I want to hear obey his voice? How many want to hear his voice so you can obey it? Sometimes you can't even hear. You're not even sure. Can I tell you that God's probably talking to you most of your day, but you're just not listening? Can you say amen? He speaks a lot. He really does. A lot of times we just think it's us, but it's not, sometimes. So he said, is there, you know, is burnt offering, you think he wants that? He says, obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And then he says this, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected you from being king. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, so Saul's thinking about this stuff. And he goes, man, I just don't like David. Why didn't he like David? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 28 through 9. Saul tells him, you know what, I'm sorry. But Samuel says, dude, man, God's torn the kingdom for it. But he turns to walk away. Saul grabs Samuel's mantle and it tears. And here's what Samuel said to him. The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours. To your neighbor. How do you like that? God's taken your house today and he's given it to your neighbor. What do you think of that? You don't like that? Okay. He's given it to your neighbor. That is, it says this, better than you. Can you say amen? Saul's going through his head. Who's better than me? Who's better than me? I'm the king. Ain't nobody better than me. You pick me. You don't know. But God's telling him, no, there's somebody better than you. How many know there's always somebody better? Oh, yeah. Can you say that? Yeah. You might think you're good. You might think you're Shaq, but there's always somebody better. Isn't that right? What's that kid's name on Denver? Jokic. Have you seen that guy play? He don't look like he's playing much, but man, he's making all the points. Anyway, there's always somebody better. Can you say amen to that? Look at your neighbor and say, hey, there's somebody better than you. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Oh, boy. 1 Samuel chapter 18:8. This is what Saul was very wroth and displeased him. This came at a time when David had gone out and against the Philistines, he won the battle. And as he was coming back in, how many know the ladies got involved? How many know that they probably like David? How many think that? Yeah, we like David. Yeah, he's a young guy. He's a youngster out there, man. He's doing good, man. He's handsome, a little ruddy. Yeah, so they're coming in. They said, David has slain his 10,000s, but Saul has slain his 1,000s. So Saul wasn't too happy with that saying. Can you say amen? Saul was very wroth. The saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have but ascribed thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Saul at this time is seeing, hey, I think this is the guy that Samuel was talking about. He's better than me. Can you say amen? Can I tell you that God always gives you a chance to repent? He always does. I think Saul still could have actually said, oh, you know what, God, fall on his face and God, I've done things so wrong and everything. But yet, instead of listening to what Samuel might have been trying to tell him. He's going over in his head, look, I've got a guy better than me. And this kingdom is taken from my hands and he's going to end up. So I believe that Saul understood that David was set for the kingdom. He even tells Jonathan, his son, why are you talking with him? Don't you know he's going to take the kingdom from you? You're supposed to have it and he's going to get it. Samuel, 1 Samuel 18, 12 through 15 says, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. How many say amen? Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, he became afraid of him. Do you see that? You see what was going on in Saul's man? Number one, jealousy. Number two, he's got fear happening to him. This guy's going to overtake me. He's overtaken me. That's all he could think about. So in all of that, he's hating that. He's beginning to hate David. David, he sees that David is the Lord is working with him. So he says, yeah, devises a plan. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let him have my daughter. How many say amen? He needs a girl. David needs a girl. But the way he wants him to, he tells David, I don't want any dowry. How many say, you don't have to pay me for her. He says, but I do want you to do one thing. I want you to go out and I want you to get 100 foreskins from the Philistines. And this is a kind of a weird thing. I got no idea. I still can't imagine in my heart at all why anybody would want that. Can anybody say amen? What it is? Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. It's the part that when they circumcise you, that's the part that he wants. What are you doing? What are you talking about? David says, I can do that. Oh, yeah. And guess what? He did. He went out and he did so that he could get Michal, David's daughter. First Samuel chapter 18, verse 28 and 29. And this particular scripture really bothers me. So David went out and he got the dowry so that he could take Michal. And Saul saw and knew. David, he knew. Not only did he see, but he knew that the Lord was with David. And that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. Do you see that? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When you see that somebody, that the Lord is with somebody, it might be good that you don't make an enemy out of that person. Is that okay? Because the Lord's with them. What you kind of want to do is you want to connect. Amen? Hey, you're walking with the Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to learn some things from you. Can I tell you that we can learn off of one another? The things, the revelations that God has given you, somebody can speak those things to you and you can be refreshed and you might pick up a revelation. Can I say amen to that?
Amen.
I love revelation. I love getting things from God's folks. I love listening to what people, Brother Terry and Brother Steve and Pastor John, when they're speaking back there. Because I want to pick up something. I want to get something that's good. So now we know why in verse 1 of chapter 19 that Saul told his servants and his son, first chance you get, I want him dead. Can I tell you that he's probably fighting against God here? So I'm going to take you back into 19. I'm going to read this. We got a few minutes yet, so. we'll get going. Saul spoke to Jonathan, starting at verse 1, spoke to Jonathan and his son, to all his servants, that they should kill David. But David, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, "Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now therefore, I pray you, take heed to yourself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell you." Jonathan spoke good of David to Saul his father, and said to him, "Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause?" And Saul listened, hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be slain." Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. Praise God. Amen. Reconciliation. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. Oh, boy. David's doing what he always does. He wins. Man, hey, he's going against Saul's enemies, and Saul is, I mean, he's got the gears rolling. He's going, oh, boy, here he goes again. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. He sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him, to slay him in the morning. And Michael, David's wife, told him, saying, "If you save not thy life tonight, tomorrow you will be slain." This is kind of like a real neat movie, kind of. Is that right? I think it could be one of them movies, you know, you know, it's got all the issues, it's got all the parts that run, you know, especially the evil king, the godfather's going to send some assassins out there to kill him. Is that right? Can I tell you, nobody can do anything unless the Lord says it's okay. Can you say that? Can you say amen to that? Amen. I'm going to tell you, God is in control. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He really is. Yeah, you might look at wars and rumors and wars and all those things going on out there, but guess what? God is still in control. Do you know that? Michael tells her, "Hey man, you better run, David. My dad, he wants your head." So Michael let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michael took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers, the assassins, to take David, she said, "He's sick." Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him." He says, "I don't care if he's sick. Just bring him, and I'll kill him." And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed and a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. Saul said to Michael, "Why have you deceived me so? Send away my enemy that he's escaped." Michael answered Saul. He said unto me, "Let me go. Why should I kill thee?" You see, an evil king, even with his own child, she found it better to lie to him rather than tell him the truth. Isn't that crazy? That's how bad things are getting for this guy. It's getting really bad for Saul. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah." And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, was upon the messengers of Saul, and they prophesied. I love this. I don't know about you guys, but I love this. They prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied. Things aren't going well for Brother Saul, are they? And then went he also to Ramah and came to the great well that is in Shechem. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went there to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Whatever Saul had in mind wasn't going to happen. How many say amen to that? You know that David was set to be the king. Is that right? Is that right? I got a question for you. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Can I tell you that David's probably in a time of his life where he's saying, man, I don't know what to do, man. This guy's going to kill me. So he says, you know, I'm going to go see Samuel. I'm sure he went and saw Samuel. Samuel goes, what are you doing here, young man? He goes, well, Samuel, remember when you poured the oil on my head? Yeah. He goes, Saul's trying to kill me. Samuel said, you know what? I got a little place of cottages over here where we keep, where there's a bunch of prophets there. Let's go up to Naoth. So they leave and they go up to Naoth. But I just want to show you some things. The Hebrew word for Ramah is Ramah. Is that the everybody say Ramah? Yeah, like top ramen. Whatever. Yeah, ramen. Ramah, and it means a height. As in a high place. That's what Ramah means. When they went, Samuel said, let's go to Naoth. Naoth means residence. It's from the Greek, it's from the Hebrew word nava. It's a prime root. It means to rest as at home, implying the idea of beauty. How many of you like resting at home? I'm going on vacation. I can't get home to rest. I can't get home fast enough to rest. How many say amen to that? Anybody do that? Or am I just the one? Nope. I'm out there, man. I say, you know what? I wish I could just go home and rest, especially when I was younger and my kids and everybody wanted to go to Disneyland and all those places. How many love Disneyland? Oscar, and I know you guys do. I love Disneyland. Yeah. But boy, Disneyland wears me out. I don't know about you guys. And I can't wait to get home to rest. And you know what? I picture when it says the idea, implying the idea of beauty. I remember Mr. White used to sit outside on his porch. He'd get home from work and I'd see him drive up and he'd clean himself off. He was a timberman in the mines down under. I mean, these guys, they had a heck of a job. They'd blast underground. They had these other guys that go in and bar down. I would hate that job. You got to knock all the loose rock off. Get ready to run, boys. Amen. You knock all the loose rock off, and then the timbermen would go in, and they'd put timbers in there and shore this thing up. And that's what Mr. White was. He was a timberman. And he'd come home, and he'd sit outside, and he'd grab his can of beer, sit on his rocker out on his porch. He'd light up his pipe of some, I don't know about you guys, but I like the smell of certain pipe smoke. How many think? I mean, some pipes really smell good. And he would light up that pipe, and he'd sit out there, and he'd just rock back and forth and drink his beer and just enjoy being at home. And to me, that I could see that he had a sense that this is beautiful. This is life. How many like life? And like being at home. I like just enjoying my home and maybe, you know, whatever I want to do. And this is what is, this is the Nava. The rest as at home, implying the idea of beauty. And then you want to add to that, it says, celebrate with praises and you prepare a habitation. Is that okay? This was a place where David and Saul, and David and Samuel went into. So I can see why. You can see these guys coming up, the assassins coming up. And the presence of the Lord is in this place. Is that right? Yeah. And they begin, they're worshiping in there. And these guys come up and they can't do anything but begin to worship and prophesy. I'm to this day, I said, Lord, I'd love to hear what they were saying. David has slain his 10,000, and Saul has been his, no, I don't know. But they began to prophesy. And then Saul finally says, you know, those guys keep going up. And Saul says, you know what? I guess I'm just going to have to do this job by myself. How many say amen to that? I'm the only one that's against God here. No, he didn't probably say that. But he said, I'm going to have to go do it myself. You want it done well, you better do it yourself. And whatever said that. So he heads on up there. But he happens to stop by, the scriptures calls it a great well. Ooh, come on, man. A great well in a city called Saku. Saku, the Hebrew word, means to surmount, and it also means an observatory. So, okay, surmount. So I took surmount, went to the dictionary, and here's what the dictionary says. It means to overcome and to conquer. How many know that you're a surmounter? So if you look at your neighbor and say, man, I am a surmounter. I don't care what you think. You are a surmounter. And then observatory. And then the word observatory, I think about this observatory that's behind my house up on Mount, what's the name of that mountain? Hopkins. Mount Rushmore? Yeah, no. Mount Hopkins up there's got that observatory. It sits right at the top, amen? Right at the top. And here it says observatory, to stand or to be placed on top of something, on top of. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What? He stopped by this great well. Woo, come on, man. Our kids are drinking from this great well. When you pray in tongues, when you speak in tongues, man, there is a river that flows. Is that right? There's a river that flows from God.
Amen.
It's a great river. Jesus said it this way. He said, your belly, out of your belly shall flow, what? Rivers, rivers, rivers of water. Do you know where to go when you don't know what to do? Do you know what to do when you don't know what to do? You can praise and you can allow those rivers to start flowing through you. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
The Spirit of God himself will take care. He'll put you on top. He'll cause you to be a conqueror. See, we are more than conquerors. What does a more than a conqueror look like? What's more than a conqueror look like? I told my kids, do you know what more than a conqueror looks like? It's in the book of Matthew. It's in the book of Luke. It looks like Jesus. He's more than a conqueror, and that's who dwells in you. Ooh, come on, man. You are set to be on top and not beneath. It's what he says in Deuteronomy. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. This is what God has said to you. You see, David was on a journey to be a king. How many know that? Hallelujah. Do you know where to go? Like David did? This is what it says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is where you go. I'll tell you, this is where you go. Don't call up pastor. Don't call up your favorite. No, man. It says right here, Jesus said it this way, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Do you know that carrying weights of what's going to happen, or I'm afraid they're going to take my car, I've got a lump right here. I'm growing a unicorn here. Whatever it is, Jesus said, come to me. That's a load you're carrying, and God wants you to take that load and bring it to Him. Do you do that? Do you know what to do when you don't know what to do? Oh man, the doctor just said that you diagnosed you with cancer. Do you know what to do? Take that word of God and God will tell you. He says, oh man, I satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed at the eagles. Speak to your body, speak to yourself. See folks, we as kings need to begin to declare these things over ourselves. Can you say amen? Get it going on in you. And then you can get it going on in the next person to you. Get it going on in my wife. Get it going on in my kids. Get that thing out. Speak those things and watch what God will do. Because God honors His word. Always honors His word. But you see, He's got a time frame. Is that right? God does it on His own time. God, according to His will, not yours. Oh man, I want it right now. How many want it right now? Whatever it is, you want it right now. Give it to me, God. I've been working on something that God spoke to me a while back, and I'm still not sure about it, but He says, when the blessing becomes a curse. How many know that a blessing can become a curse? That what God has given you can be a curse. And it shouldn't be that way. How many say amen? What God gave to Adam in the garden actually became a curse to him. Because he didn't operate the way the kingdom of God operates. He operated contrary. So that thing became a curse. Can I just say to you that you have to pay attention to what God is saying to you about how you operate in this life. Because you are of this kingdom. And if you do anything that's contrary to that, you're separating yourself from this kingdom. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11, 6 says this. He that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, this is the part I want you to look at. Is for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that, I like the word, diligently seek him. Yes. What's diligently mean? Once a year? You know, every Lord, every New Year's Day, I'm going to seek you. Come on, man. There is a diligence about going after what God has for you that will strengthen you and strengthen you and strengthen you. You can go after him when you eat lunch. You can go after him when you're washing or waxing your car. You can go after him all day long, if you will. Can I tell you something? He's coming after you all day long. Why won't you go after him all day long? He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to help you. And we Jesus said this. He goes, hey, you know what? He told the people, he says, you know, the kingdom is at hand. It's at hand. Can I tell you there's a big difference of a kingdom being at hand and being in hand? Can I tell you that? Yes. The kingdom's at hand if you want it. If you want it, reach out for it and he'll put it in your hand. Is that right? He'll strengthen you and guide you and bring everything that is good that he has planned for you to you if you'll diligently seek him. Huh. Hallelujah. You see, we're all on a journey just like David. David was on a journey from shepherd boy to king. His ordered steps. I want you to, his ordered steps. I believe everything that was going on between him and Saul was something that God had ordered. Because God says, look, I'm taking a shepherd and I'm going to make him a king. And it takes, can I tell you, it takes some diligence on your side to believe what God has said to you. His ordered steps, the king's he said he went into his to the king's court as a musician. Amen?
Amen.
Where's Steve? He went in as a musician. And then he went into an impossible battle with a giant. And then he became a dartboard for the king's court. How many say amen? I'm going to kill you. He became an enemy and a fugitive and an outcast. And when Israel was ready, he became the king. He led 300 men in the wilderness, watched over them, kept them from doing what they wanted to do. Is that right? When they wanted to kill Saul, David said, no, man, we cannot touch the anointed of God. We can't do that. He's a man of honor, a man after God's own heart is what he said. A neighbor to Saul. Your steps are ordered. Remember, he's transforming you into a king. Revelation 5:10, again, the last part, says, and he's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Is the kingdom of God a top priority in your life? Is it? It needs to be. We've said it before from this pulpit that anything that's not connected to the kingdom, Jesus said it this way, any tree that's not rooted in the kingdom will be pulled up. We're in a time, folks, that your business, if your business, how many want to run a business? How many would you like to run a business? Anybody in here, entrepreneur type person? There you go, Marianne. Somebody. In your business, conduct business according to the kingdom. And you're going to see that business take off and grow and prosper. Some of these things that we're seeing in the world today that we would consider a big business, they're not connected, and God's tearing them down. Mariana Elena sent me a thing on Target. How many of you guys know what's going on with Target, right? That they were connected. They had things connected to. One of the guys in there was a Satanist, and he was putting out things in the store, and they thought it was fine to do that. Well, I'll tell you right now, Target is plummeting. Their stocks are plummeting. Things are going on. See, anything that's not connected to the kingdom will be rooted up, including... folks, can you say amen? God's a loving God. He loves us. Wow, I'm a follower. He's a loving God, but now I'll tell you something. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what he says. Aren't you glad? He does not change. He cannot change. If he changed, then he wouldn't be God. Is that right? He cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in the old is still him in the New Testament. Is that okay?
Yeah.
He had to give us laws so that we might understand sin in a different way. Right. That it's not that God is trying to watch over us to protect us. But I would tell you, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. The day he changes, folks, I think this universe will blow up. Because it's his consistency and who he is that holds everything together, including us. Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah.
You have a God that you can trust. That he says, Matt, if you will believe me, if you believe me, you'll ask and you'll receive. Just keep asking. Amen? Ooh, can you stand? Hallelujah. You are kings and priests. You are a king and a priest. God has created you to rule. He say amen to that.
Amen.
We will rule on this earth.
Yes.
It's amazing to me And somehow I'm catching little glimpses of it, but it's amazing to me how we're created out of what? Anybody know? Yeah, thank you. Some of us do. God created man out of the dust of the earth. It's amazing to me the honor and the glory that he places upon us. We're dust. We're basically dirt. But being that we're basically dirt, do you know what we need? We need a mighty God to help us in everything. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, hey, don't be that kind of person. Well, I don't need God. I can do it on my own. Is that right? I can do it all on my own. I don't need God. I mean, you know what? Don't be that kind of person. Because he'll say, okay, do it on your own. Let's see what you can do with that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I knew you'd ask me for help. Is that right? Come on, man. That's God. He loves you and he cares about you.
Hallelujah.
So much that he has placed kingship in your life. You can declare to your bills. Mm-mm. According to God, he is my source. He is my, you can declare things to your body. He's going to cause you to rise above like an observatory. You see, he says it this way. You are a light on a hill. On a hill. That's where you're at. And his life and his love over you is causing you to conquer in everything. So allow him to. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, are building a kingdom in the earth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are part of it, Father. We ask you, Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts, continue to lead us and guide us in all the things that we need. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If there's anybody that needs prayer.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.